In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I really need to check and see if Thomas Jefferson included the Beatitudes in his, well, they call it the Jefferson Bible, you know. Jefferson didn't believe in miracles, and so he took a copy of the New Testament and he cut them all out. And he thought of Jesus Christ as the greatest moral teacher. And he believed that all the rest of those things just weren't things he could go along with. And I wonder if he included the Beatitudes. I never thought to check. It's been many, many years since I looked at a copy of the Jefferson Bible. I'm not sure that I have a copy anymore. And the reason I mention this is because the Beatitudes are not about Jesus giving people practical advice for success of a worldly nature. I don't know what people do with them who think that Jesus is the great moral teacher rather than being the one who came in order to make it possible for us to be like God. Created in the image and likeness of God, we had lost the union, the oneness with God that makes it possible for us to be like Him. The Son of God became one of us in order to restore that to us. And the Beatitudes are spiritual teaching for the apostles, the disciples of Christ of that time and of every time. This is how we need to live if we are going to remain at one with God through Christ. Jesus does not begin by denying the practical wisdom of the world. He often makes reference to and recognizes and assumes that the practical wisdom of the world is exactly that. You lend expecting money backed again, or you would go broke. If you're the husband or the wife, the father or the mother, and you go around lending to everyone and not expecting anything back again, your children will starve. Practical wisdom is still practical wisdom. Even those who miss the mark of being like God, sinners, that's what a sinner is. To sin means to miss the mark. It doesn't mean to break rules. Those who miss the mark of being like God will lend to others expecting to receive back again. Those who miss the mark of being like God return the love of those who love them. Now, it's possible to be immoral and unethical. Even according to the way of the world, it's possible to exploit the love and the affection of others out of egoism and self-love and an incapacity to return love for love. But Jesus isn't talking about that. He's saying even those who miss the mark of being like God return love for love. In other words, it's possible, according to the way of the world, to be at least a decent and ethical human being and deal fairly with others and not exploit them. If you are that kind of person, then you are a long way from being ready to recognize the gospel, the good news of our now being able to reunite ourselves to God through Christ and follow the Beatitudes, because the Beatitudes reveal a way of life that is beyond worldly wisdom. Even those who are worldly and miss the mark of being like God, miss the mark of fulfilling what we are meant to be when God created us in His own image and likeness, even those who miss that mark return love for love. What thank do you have for that? It says, what thank have ye for doing that? But there's more in these words, what thank have ye, than just the meaning that you haven't been particularly virtuous by doing this. It's natural, normal, decent. Any departure from treating other people with decency and respect is not even worth talking about. Even according to the way of the world, this is despicable. The thank that Jesus is talking about goes beyond that. What virtue have you in terms of being like God? Not missing the mark, but remaining at one with Christ himself. In addition to the fact that the person who just does this worldly wisdom of returning love for love or money that's been loaned and certainly deserves no thanks for that. It's to be expected of any decent human being. Father Schmemann used to say that is the minimum. That's the least that you can expect. People who think that Christianity is about achieving that decent minimum don't understand how far the Christian faith and the good news, the gospel, goes beyond that level of decency which even pagan Greeks accomplished and taught about in their philosophy. There is another meaning here to the words, what thank have ye? What thank have ye in terms of being like God? And here's the other meaning of these words, what thank have ye? What thanks do you have to give to Christ for having come into the world, united himself in his divinity to our humanity, revealing the meaning of being human to us who had lost that meaning, and ultimately in the end thankfulness for his death on the cross in our humanity in such a way that we in a humanity that can be like his can share his triumph over death. There is a thanksgiving that we owe to him for his having included us in his divinity, having become one of us, having destroyed our enemy, death. Death, the enemy that makes us fear and drives us to fall back on the wisdom of the world, even when it comes to our secret heart. Not just doing what's necessary, but believing in faith in the world instead of God. Becoming idolaters of the things of the world. That is not required at a practical level. That is something that only belongs to God, that we give up to the world out of a forgetfulness of God. So we can be thankless to Christ, God, and how he has made it possible for us to participate in this way of life that's being described so beautifully and in such a world-abandoning way in these Beatitudes. Because if you are going to share what Christ has restored to us, has returned to us, not just an individual reunion with God through Christ, but in a reunion of ourselves with all other human beings. So that if anyone is suffering anywhere, we feel that suffering because we feel and experience the oneness of ourselves with all other human beings. Because as I am a human being, so is every other person in the world that God has created in his image and likeness. And so we treat them as we now, because of Christ, can treat others in Christ. We love our enemies. Because even our enemies are amongst those with whom we share our humanity, the humanity in Christ. And this goes beyond just loving those who love us. When we see others who are doing things that they ought not to do, we recognize the suffering to their humanity that doing that evil does to them. And instead of condemning them, we love them, even when they are making themselves enemies to us. This is how God loves us. With this kind of shared cooperation with God What can we do but be thankful? There is no thankfulness in our returning love to those who love us. There is no thankfulness in receiving back what we have lent. But there is a thankfulness for this oneness that we have with all other human beings when we love our enemies, when we lend not expecting to have it returned. Do this, Christ says, and you will be children of God. The doing of this is a participation in something that Christ has done. He has made it possible for us to live in this way, at one with all of humanity, which is restored in Him and brought back together in Him so that we can participate in it. And if we live in that way, then we will be living in a way that is like God. And we will be doing it through Christ. And we are thankful for it. We have not followed the path of cutting ourselves off from others and from God. St. Paul says that the God who brought light out of darkness, where there was darkness, He said, let there be light, and there was light. That God, he says, has caused the presence of Jesus the Christ to shine in our hearts. And where there was darkness, now there is the light of Christ. But we have this treasure, the glory of God, in earthen vessels, he says. We are created out of the dust of the earth. We will never be more than God's creation. But there is a glory in what we are as human beings. We are the ones who were created to be the vessels of the presence of divine life, to be like God because of the presence of divine light in us. And Christ has come not just to destroy our enemy, death, but also to abide in us and to be the presence of God in us so that we can be human. Because we were created in the image and likeness of God. Without the presence of God in us, we are not fully human. We are earthen vessels. This divine glory is not ours. It is meant to be present in every human being. Even with the foolishness of pride that we often feel, and many have read the Gospels and found ways to turn it to the affirmation of their own prideful humanity, making restrictions and definitions about how this is a kind of legal relationship that we have with God, and He has put Himself in our place and died for us, and so we are no longer damned, but we are saved. But then on the other hand, we do not have the capacity to act with the presence of God in us, in cooperation, in synergy with God, because we are fallen. And of course, as Orthodox, we deny that. Christ came into the world in order to make it possible to act in synergy with Him. But we remain human beings, only. Human beings, earthen vessels, that the divine light and life of Christ can abide in. The glory that is in us is not our own. It is that of God Himself. When we go beyond the wisdom of this world and live the life of the Beatitudes and are not controlled by the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world, but instead live a life at one with God through Christ, even if it's momentarily, we are going beyond this world. It doesn't deny the practicality of worldly things. This goes beyond that. The glory of God present in us cannot make us prideful. We cannot take pride in the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God. Pride is foolish. An individual. Individual pride of a person, seeing that they have done some good work and taking pride in it. Where is the cooperation with Christ? It is something that person has done that they take pride in. But there is something else. Rather than this modern secular idea that in order to love others, We must first love ourselves, which is a really crazy kind of an idea that talks about pride. You have to have pride in yourself before you can go out and hold your head high amongst others. It's not pride that we have as those who were created in the image and likeness of God. But we do have, all of us, every human being ever created, a shared and common human dignity that we cannot lose. No one, how bad an actor in the world, loses the fact that they were created in the image of God, however unlike God they may be. We cannot lose the dignity of our human calling. And so we stand before God as one created by Him to be like Him. When we say our prayers, we are not expected to grovel before God. The nothingness of our behavior in comparison to the way we could be if we were living like Christ is not a cause for us to grovel as though we were nothing. We are something. We were created in the image and likeness of God, and we cannot lose that dignity. We stand before Him, we confess how we've missed the mark, but we are secure in the fact that we were created with this human dignity that we cannot lose. God loves us for the creatures that He created us to be. And He forgives our sins. Those times when we have done things that are unworthy of Him and unworthy of our own humanity. But the glory, St. Paul says, is God's. It never belongs to us. This same common human dignity that all human beings have, along with it must come humility. Humility. Because we are the earthen vessels that God made in order to be the light within us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.